This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, guess what? I'm back on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you on the radio. Thanks to the financial guys for that powerhouse lead-in. It was awesome. And, you know, I'm going to take something that happened last week to me and apply it to you. Because contrary to the people who are always saying,
all he does is talk about himself. That's all he does. I talk about myself if it's relevant to the show. I mean, yeah, I'll do that. Like today, it's very relevant to the show because I can use my own stupid story to encourage you to call into the program. See how that works?
And I don't know anybody better than I know myself. So here we go. Last week, my last show last week was on Tuesday. And I had every intention of being able to come in on Wednesday and do my job because I don't really like calling in sick. I've had enough of that, but I had to because, as you probably know, if you remember, and we're listening last Tuesday, and it's almost a week ago now, I had an issue speaking. I still have a little issue speaking, but it's not severe like it was. And basically, I had a very badly broken molar. And it was on the bottom. And every time my tongue would move in my mouth, it would get caught up on the sharp edge of the tooth. It was like a razor blade. And I went to the dentist, and the dentist said, wow, you really did a number. I said, okay, well, the tooth doesn't hurt. She said, I'm not talking about the tooth, Tom. I'm talking about your tongue. She looked underneath and said, it looks like a trench. It's like, yeah, thank you. I knew it was wrong. The good news is it doesn't, you know, obviously, oral things kind of heal relatively quickly. But the bad news is I literally could not speak last week. I could not well enough to have done a radio show last week at all. And I'm thinking to myself, of all of the stupid, dumb things, like it sounds so petty, right? Because I'm sure there are some big, manly men who are listening to the show saying, wow, Bowerly is a total wimp. Well, okay, I will grant you that. I am, okay? It's served me well in life. I am. But I do actually have a very, very high tolerance for pain. And that's good. It's very good to have a high tolerance for pain. But when you're used to pain in a certain spot on your body and you get it in another spot in your body, it kind of confounds the senses just a little bit. So let me ask you, a stupid little injury that you're almost afraid and ashamed of talking to anyone about what it was doing to you, the stupid little injury that really messed you up. Might have been for a few days, as my tongue was messed up, or it might have been for a few weeks. But basically, what I'm looking for here is some injuries, you expect them to hurt. For example, if you have a broken rib or several broken ribs, never had one, but people I know and people you know who've had broken ribs have said that it is basically, you might as well have been crucified. It was just agony to have a broken rib. Kidney stones, we've talked about kidney stones. Kidney stones are, they're a gift from hell. That's just, kidney stones are an advance notice of what the afterlife will be if you have sold your soul and you are going to the damnation land, okay? That's what's going to happen to you. But everybody knows kidney stones are rough. Childbirth is rough. There are a lot of things that can be very, very painful. And you don't feel like a wimp or a lightweight or a snowflake telling people, well, I had a kidney stone, because a kidney stone is about the size of a grain of sand, maybe even smaller than a grain of sand. For the most part, there are exceptions, and I've seen the pictures on the internet, and if that passed naturally, I don't know how that guy is even alive today. Anyway, some injuries are just, they might be small, but people understand a kidney stone. People understand a gallstone, although kidney stones are much more, shall we say, common than gallstones, at least in my personal experience. But I will tell you that I'm almost embarrassed to talk about this, but see, that's why I'm going first. Not talking about myself for the sake of talking about myself. Talking about myself because I think it's a good lead-in to the show. Because keep in mind, I really do have a very high
pain threshold, and I've had a high pain threshold since I was 26. But I'm used to it in certain spots of my body. I'm not used to it in other spots of my body. But again, if you're just joining us, last week I took the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows off because I could not speak, because my tongue was gouged on the bottom, like deeply gouged. I was waking up tasting blood every night. It was horrible. It was horrible. It was awful. It was just nasty. And my tongue got, the tooth that broke, as I mentioned, the tooth that broke was fine. No pain whatsoever in that. No, not at all. But the tongue, the underneath part of the tongue was absolutely sublingual, a part of the tongue was absolutely, it was a mess. And it's, believe it or not, it's still not even 100%, maybe it's 80%, but I'm not going to call in sick on a Monday and put Tim and Lisa in a bind. That would just be wrong. So I'm going to ease it up a little bit and then maybe shift it into second gear as we move along. Maybe third gear, maybe fifth gear, might set the turbo going up. You know, I want to do it well. So the injury that you've had that, it sounds so small, but it caused you so much pain. You know, Joe was talking about the most painful thing through which you've ever lived, and I'm throwing it up a little bit, or throwing it a curveball a little bit. The most painful thing that you've had that was so small, you were almost embarrassed to tell anybody about it. Kidney stones are small. Yes, they're almost microscopic, but you know what? They hurt. Everybody knows kidney stones are just horrible, all right? Childbirth, I don't think any woman is going to get grief from anybody if she says, well, I gave birth, I gave it naturally, I didn't do any of the medication, and it hurt. It really did. My first wife did that, she went totally drug-free when she delivered 50-plus hours of labor, our daughter. Then our son just came right out like it was an open garage, basically. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Tell me, the injury that you have suffered in your life that caused you unbelievable pain, but it's also unbelievable because it should, you never thought something like that could hurt as bad as it did. I never have considered my tongue to be something that was going to be injured, okay? I mean, seriously, come on. Who actually injures a tongue? When you're a kid, I think you do, because your teeth are brand new, they're razor sharp, and when you first get them in, it seems like your tongue gets big and your lips get big, and you probably cut yourself, might remember this from being a kid, probably cut yourself with your incisors, because every kid, you know, as you get older, you forget how sharp your teeth used to be. And as you get older, it becomes harder and harder to use your front teeth to just rip things open because we've worn them down. We've worn them down over the years. We're falling apart. We're becoming ossified, actually, or fossilized, too. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'll tell you something else that I have heard is very, very painful. Not only have I heard it's painful, but it's something I've also experienced. And here it is. Have you ever broken a toe? Now, I realize this is really stupid, but it has to be said. If you've ever broken a toe, you must understand, especially if it's in the wintertime and your feet are already cold, breaking a toe, it sounds such a wussy thing to complain about. If you've done it, it's horrible. It's not the worst thing, but it's painful. And what makes it even worse is once you break a toe once, I think you just keep on breaking and breaking and breaking it over and over again. One of my toes has the consistency of a fin, basically. There's no bone left in it. Let's go to Rich on WBEN. Rich is calling in from Akron. Hello, sir.
Last week I talked about my broken ribs. I'm not going to do it again.
Hold on, I'm having a hard time.
In 1986.
Please go ahead. I have to turn something up on my end. Start again, please. Okay, this is awkward because I can't hear a gentleman here. Rick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, just keep talking so I can get a level on you. Okay, that's part of the problem, I think. Just count down from 10 if you wouldn't mind. Just count down, please. 10, 9, 8.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Now I can. Now, that's perfect. Thank you so much. I didn't mean to make you work so hard for it. I apologize for that. But well, I
33 years of my trucking career I spent as a mover. So I'm out at Moffett Field in the Bay Area in California, and I had a rookie for a helper. And we're coming down the stairs. I'm coming down backwards with my end of a triple dresser. and he let go of it, and it chased me to the bottom of the stairs and hit me in the mouth and knocked out the majority of my teeth.
Oh, that is horrible. Oh, my goodness. That's
so
rough.
Then I had to drive all the way back to Rochester from the Bay Area without any medical attention. So every so often I would stop on a truck stop and I'd buy a bag of ice. And I'd take that into the men's room and I'd put it in the sink and I'd just stick my face in it for as long as I could. And then I did, believe it or not, when I was using it for painkiller, it was NyQuil.
Well, you do what you have to do sometimes. But, here's the thing. If you lost most of your teeth, I'm guessing that most of your friends and family did not give you a hard time because you were in a lot of pain. Because, like, I mean, it would be better had you scored the gold medal winning goal for the Americans in the Olympics. That would have made it really worthwhile. Just moving stuff around hardly seems like it's worth the loss of your dental health, sir.
Yeah, it's just, I had to keep on trucking. There was nothing I could do about it. You know, I had dates to meet, and they hold your feet to the fire. And it's like, look, I got hurt, but I'll make it. And I made it in the same amount of time I normally would have. Wow. But it hurt.
My goodness, sir. That's something. Did you, out of curiosity, I've heard, I don't know what the answer is on this one, but somebody told me once, and this was a long time ago, that if you ever have a tooth or teeth knocked out, you put them in milk and you bring them to the dentist, and the dentist can actually plant them in your gums. Now, I could ask Bernie Kolber, but have you heard that at all?
I haven't heard that, but I'll tell you what I did do, and this is hilarious. I went to the dental clinic at ECMC. They have everything else removed that, the parts that were still in there that were broken off. And so I get there and my wife drives me in there and they gave me some painkiller and stuff. And they said, okay, come back first thing tomorrow morning. But at that time I was with a van lines that had blue uniforms. However, I had left a van lines that had green uniforms. So what I had done was I had peeled all the patches off and I used them for work clothes. A green shirt and green flags. So here, my wife takes me into ECMC the next morning to the dental clinic. I come rolling around the corner. I got a green uniform shirt on and a green pair of, uniform pants on. And that's the morning that they bring everybody in from, I don't know if it's from Wendy or if it's from the place next door, the county lockup, but everybody's wearing the same slacks and the same shirts that I am, and they're all, in handcuffs and ankle cuffs and everything else. I come whipping around the corner, and everybody's looking like, well, what's up with him?
Getting back to it, being a mover and having done that as part of your job, driving truck, is your body totally destroyed as a result of being a mover? Because, you talk to people who do the same repetitive motions all the time, and they suffer the rest of their lives from it. It's horrible.
Right. My whole thigh and my back is completely shot, so I go to the chiropractor probably once or twice a month. The 7 ribs that I did in 24 was nothing. I've had broken ribs 5 times. Only 2 at a time other than in 24. I broke a leg, I broke an ankle.
Wow.
But that wasn't moving furniture, that was moving machinery in the moving business. I had to deliver a breathing machine to a hospital in Indianapolis, and it got away from me, and I was up against a concrete wall when it caught up with me.
Oh, good heavens. Well, you know what? It made you a better person. It had some good redeeming qualities for you. So I'll say that.
I still get up every morning and work. Yeah, I got my aches and pains, but it was worth it.
I hear you, brother.
It was a real honorable job,
Well, yeah, I can imagine. Thank you very much. I mean, I have to lift pens every now and again, occasionally a piece of paper. Thank you for the call. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. And I am watching how I speak today because I don't want to cut my tongue again. Last week, I had to take Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off because I had basically gouged out the bottom of my tongue and it was too painful to actually talk. It was a relief, I'm sure, for people to know me, like you. I'm sure it was a great respite, but I'm back. So what have you done that it caused you more pain than you ever thought something like that would ever cause. And as I've said, the irony to me is it wasn't even the tooth that was the problem. It was what the tooth had done to the underside of my tongue, which is very unfortunate. Let's go to John in Holland on WBEN. Hello, Johan. Hello.
Well, Mr. B, I want to corroborate the part of a tooth in the milk story. I was a kid, I slid. I was foolishly climbing up a slide the wrong direction. And that was when slides were made of metal, and they were great. And I smacked the side of it, broke my front incisor right in half. The piece of tooth was picked up. The dentist said, put it in milk, and we should be able to save it. I was maybe 9 or 10 at the time, so when my permanent teeth were in. And at 43, I still have that tooth intact. It's bonded. Hasn't had an issue until my daughter, who is now turning 3, smacked her head into my mouth and re-cracked it. But it's been repaired. And they said even just a couple of years ago when they had to rebond it, they said that the reason that I still have the same tooth is because, apparently putting it in milk helped to keep the calcium from deteriorating in that short period of time.
Man, that is that's pretty amazing. Now, as far as in addition to the corroboration, do you know what I'm talking about when I say the stuff that you've done to your body that really, really hurts you, and it's almost like you're afraid to mention it to anybody because you'd feel like such a wuss and such a snowflake? Because I feel a little bit wussy, and I'm not going to say I'm some big tough guy, but I feel very wussy right now, believe me.
Oh, no, 100%. So when my daughter hit her giant child head into my tooth and re-cracked it, I felt terrible because she was crying because she hit her head pretty hard on my face, but it had smacked my upper lip, and boy, did it cut. I thought that it cut straight through. I was bleeding the inside of my mouth, but I couldn't tell anybody how badly it hurt until they had to, put like the stitch in there and everything, and I'm going, this hurts. You don't realize it, but I move my lips, whether I'm eating or breathing, whatever the case may be. It hurt for 2 weeks, and it was just a different level of pain that I've ever experienced, but I guess I never really had that type of pain somewhere or injured something where I use it so regularly. And I've had a couple of reconstructive surgeries from a car accident that they paled in comparison, because those, at least I was forced to wear immobilizers and things like that. Like, I couldn't move. But in your mouth, man, that is a different level of pain. You are not a wuss for complaining that it hurts.
Well, I do beg to differ because it's so stupid. But in my defense, I will tell you that I saw the photograph of the tooth and I understood why I was at the dentist in an emergency situation. I'll say that much.
Well, still, if you see what's causing that pain but you're feeling it, I don't know that knowing where it's come from kind of takes that level of pain away. I don't know if that makes sense, but just because I understand the etymology of the pain doesn't mean that it's lessened as a result.
The etymology or the etiology?
Ooh, you know what? I don't know if I used the right word.
I believe
there.
You meant the etiology. Oh, no, you know what? I think you meant I think you meant what I said.
It's a tooth. So can we just say the root of the issue?
You can, because I'd hate you to beat me into a bloody pulp. You've got some nerve, don't you?
Listen, the whole truth of the situation is that it still hurts.
Have you ever thought maybe of seeking some kind of dental health assistance, perhaps, maybe?
Genuinely, yeah. I would love to have either an implant done or have not a crown. I don't want it to ever be an issue moving on.
I was trying to be funny because you were making all these word jokes, and I was just trying to have some fun with it. But thank you, Matt, my friend. I appreciate it. There's John in Holland. I thought we were on the same trail, but then we split out. We bifurcated. Yeah, I love words. But you know what? Don't ever feel like you've got to use every word correctly, because I frankly don't care. If I think it's appropriate, I might bring it to your attention, but I'd rather you correct me because I screw up more than you guys ever will. Okay, so just know that.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies, with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. So, question is, have you had an injury that caused you a ridiculous amount of pain, but it was so wussy that you were afraid to even tell anybody because you couldn't believe what you'd done to cause yourself such distress because it really was nothing, like a chipped tooth? Ugh. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo on WBEN. Hello, Nick. You are on the radio.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. There's no point in asking. I'm fine and dandy because even if I was in a terrible place, I would not say it to anybody, right? Get a man up.
I totally understand that. Let me tell you the story quickly. About a week and a half ago, I went to a normal dentist appointment for two fillings on two front lower teeth. The drilling had to go quite deep below the gum line, and no matter what the guy did, he eventually got to the point where he had to stop and they filled the two teeth, trying to save him. That was on a Thursday. By Friday, I was infected. In pain.
Oh.
And telling nobody, as you were just talking about. Then came Saturday, and I was so swolled up, my tongue, teeth, gums, face, nerves, lips, all the way to my ear, and of course it happens on a weekend.
Yes.
So, my wife noticed the swelling in my face and convinced me, like, by Monday, I went to the emergency room. And I wound up in the hospital for three solid days last week and nights on antibiotics through IV, round the clock, Dilaudid for pain killing, and I had tried to like hold this in for days on end. It just got overwhelming. And after 3 days in the hospital, they released me at home, still on antibiotics. And tomorrow I get to go and have these two teeth removed, and I'm hoping to stay out of the hospital.
Wow. So, anything else that you have basically experienced that you might think? I mean, that story does not sound wimpy at all, by the way, just so you know.
Okay.
Anything? Is there anything? Sorry, I should finish the question. Is there anything that you've done in addition that basically you think we might think would not hurt as much as it did, but you were there, it was your body, and you know?
Broken toe years ago while building a deck with my wife. We dropped a 2x12x16 foot beam on my left foot, and I knew the second it hit it that the big toe was broke and couldn't walk. And again, I'm like acting like the baby. Oh my God, it hurts. Oh my God, it hurts. But went right back to work, finished the day with my wife at the deck, and by morning went right into an emergency clinic, and she looked at it and said, yep, that's broke. It was black and blue and huge, and I felt like a total idiot, you know, but at first it was self-inflicted, and there was like, there's nothing we could do for it anyway. All we could do is tape it.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
That made me feel pretty bad.
Now, you break a digit, and it's amazing. You don't realize how much you'd use little toes or toes anywhere, or fingers for that matter, until you can't use them. Thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate the call. Nick. That's Jack. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Beamer was talking about the show on the most painful thing you've ever experienced. I've done that show. I've never done this one, which is based on my experience last week with the broken tooth, basically gouging the heck out of my lower tongue, forcing me to take time off. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Tom in Niagara Falls. Tom, you're on the radio. Hello. Tom, are you there?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you almost lost the opportunity, sir, but let's go right ahead, please.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I don't know if you've ever experienced it, or I'm sure some of your listeners have, but gout.
Oh, gout. Absolutely. Please, sir, you're making this hard. You're making this very hard for me because I expect you to tell something, and you're starting and you're pausing, and I don't know when I should talk because then people accuse me of interrupting. So why don't you just go ahead? Well, right, this is not gonna work. I'm sorry,
about,
folks. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I know it sounds like I was a mean guy there, but I don't know what was going on there. And it was like, I don't know if there was a delay or he wasn't hearing me, but I was hearing him fine. And I'm sorry. If he wants to call back, he can certainly call back. Maybe it was a connection issue, but I kind of felt like, you know, I've said this before, especially on a Monday, you try to get into a rhythm, you know, like the Sabres got into in the third period last night. That's kind of a rhythm that I mean. So I hope he calls back. Maybe we will get a better connection, but don't hate me for that, because if you listen and you listen carefully, think you can understand why I felt that I really got to get into some other callers or something. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It is amazing that the little aches, the little injuries that you can do to your body will often cause you more distress or as much distress as the major things, right? I mean, you ever notice how your body can survive astonishing things and then be absolutely defeated by something stupid? Because you can break major bones. You can go through horrible surgeries. You can survive all kinds of illnesses. You can work through heartbreak, raise kids, pay taxes, shovel snow, survive rush hour traffic, and keep going. But then one day, especially in the wintertime, you stub your toe on the coffee table and suddenly you're on the floor and you're making a religious conversion pledge. Good afternoon again. I want to talk to you about, what is one of life's big equalizers, great equalizers, the stupid little injuries. Not the Joe Theismann on Monday Night Football. I've never seen a man bent like a pretzel like that ever in my life. Not that kind of dramatic thing. Not the ambulance, not the heroic scar, but the tiny, ridiculous, humiliating injuries that really shouldn't matter, but somehow they become the central event of your entire day, or in my case, the central event of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week, because I literally could not work because I couldn't speak, and it's still not even close to 100%. Why? The broken tooth put trenches into my tongue, the lower part of the tongue. Not fun. Let's go, but I'm almost embarrassed to say it. Let's go to Chris on WBEN. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Tom. About an hour ago, I'm pretty sure I just broke my wrist. I drove to my, this is the great health system we have in Canada. Believe me, USA, it sucks up here. So I go to my doctor, he's closed. I go to the urgent care. There's 35 people in line in front of me. So right now I'm driving to Niagara Falls from Fort Erie to see if I can get into an x-ray clinic and at least get an x-rayed. That's what a great system we have. And it's killing me.
Oh,
but I've got ice on it. I'm driving. It's my right hand. So I'm driving with my left. I'm holding the phone with my left. And damn.
When people call in, I'm trying to figure out a different angle on this. When people call into American talk shows, all right, especially people who are on the left, and they always talk about the Canadian healthcare system and how much better it is than the American healthcare system. Give me your thoughts on that, sir. You kind of already did, but whatever. Go ahead, please.
Our health system is terrible. First of all, everybody thinks it's free. It's not free. We pay for it. We pay for it in our taxes, and we pay dearly for health care. And if you want to get like a hip replacement up here or a knee replacement, you got to wait 6 to 8 months, sometimes 12 months to get something done. It's a terrible system. The U.S. system is fine. It's not fine. It's broken, but it's much better than the Canadian system, I'll tell you that. Because if you are in dire need of something right away in Canada, get in line.
Wow. You know,
I know what's going to happen now. I'm going to hear it from other Canadians who are going to say, you, sir, are wrong. Because when I've done shows on the health system in America, and I've made the arguments that when I speak to people in Canada who have specific needs that have to be tended to, they always say that they come to the United States because it's a lot quicker to be diagnosed and treated for something in the United States, at least diagnosed, than it is in Canada. And then I'll get people, your fellow Canadians, sir, from the GTA, they call in and they say, no, you're wrong. Where are you getting your information? So I don't know what the truth is now. I really don't. You Canadians are confusing sorts.
Well, we are. But I'll tell you something. You walk into any urgent care place in anywhere, in the GTA or in the Greater Niagara area, it is usually 4 hours, 5 hours before they can see you. And it's just because we don't have enough doctors. We don't. It's given. We don't have enough doctors in Canada. And our per capita, you know, I mean, we're nowhere near the population of the United States, but we just don't have enough doctors. And our nurses are huge. A lot of our nurses go south because they get paid better. I'm just saying our health system sucks in Canada. It absolutely sucks. And hopefully this place will take me in about, I should be there in about 10 minutes. Hopefully they could take me and at least get the x-ray done, because I fell and it looks like I have a football on my wrist.
Oh, man. Well, I hope that at least you're able to wrangle some decent drugs out of it.
I just took two Tylenol once, two Advils.
That was enough for you?
Yeah, that's enough. It'll get me about 3 hours worth of relief. Anyways, I just wanted to let you know our system sucks.
Well, I don't want to totally change the topic of the show, but I'm certainly willing to entertain calls from your co-nationals who might want to either agree or disagree with what you're saying about the Canadian plan absolutely sucking. Perhaps we shall, perhaps we shall not. I don't quite know. We shall see. I'll let the show evolve. Got a lot of other things, too, I want to get into. You know, today's date, what is it? It's, it's 4:20, isn't it? It's 4:20. It's 4:20. We can say goodbye. We can hang up here, Tanner. We can please. Thank you. So I mentioned earlier that it is it's April 20. It is 4:20. And one of the things I want to do a little bit later is because I want to continue this injury thing a little bit, because I think there's definitely some meat on the bones. And I got to get back into my groove as well. I got to get back into my groove. I got to find my groove again, baby. I'll find it. It usually takes not this long, but I'll find it. But the weed situation is. Do you think, how many people listening to my show think that marijuana, weed, pot, Dr. Green, whatever you want to call weed, should actually be recriminalized again, which actually is a redundancy. Recriminalized would have been sufficient. Yes, recriminalized. Anybody? Because I was watching one of these old dragnets last night. Dragnet was one of the original Law and Orders. It wasn't called Law and Order, but Dragnet kind of set the new standard for post-World War II television entertainment and radio entertainment. It was gritty. It was raw. It was somewhat hackneyed, but it was more real than anything else that was on at that time. And I was watching some stuff last night about marijuana as portrayed on Dragnet with Jack Webb. And There was. I'm laughing here. Basically, you know what they said back in the 1960s, the conservative folks, right? They basically said, well, look, if you legalize marijuana, people smoke marijuana, next thing you know, you're going to be doing heroin. One day it's weed, the next day it's heroin, because you're going to lose your soul. It's going to happen quickly. And the other argument in one of the dragnets that I saw was that, do you agree that alcohol has not contributed a lot to the American betterment? And the guy said, well, yeah, I don't think alcohol has contributed a lot as far as positivity, but it's a choice that people make. And Jack Webb, the character Jack Webb, said, I'm going to paraphrase kind of, it won't be a direct quote, so if I get it wrong, don't hate me for that. But the guy really wanted weed to be legalized. This is back in like 1967, and Joe Friday, Jack Webb, said, well, if you think that alcohol, with all the deaths from motor vehicle accidents and everything else, the disease, the broken families, if you think that is a good thing, well, doesn't it stand to reason that marijuana is going to do the same thing? If we legalize marijuana, then what's going to happen? You're going to be in a situation where we're going to have twice the problems that we now have just with alcohol. And that is the way people used to view marijuana. And you know it if you live through it. I remember seeing that as a kid thinking, oh my goodness. But now it has been legalized for quite some time. And I want to know if... I want to know if you think that was a good idea, because it is 420. And one of the things that I don't, first of all, look, I think all drugs ought to be legalized, to be very brutally honest with you, because I liken it to the era of prohibition with alcohol, the 1920s in the United States, the Volstead Act and the amendment, that people are going to do what they're going to do, and people aren't going to do what they don't want to do. If somebody put a pile of heroin in front of you right now, would you do it? Would you inject it? Would you sniff it? Would you do anything with it? Most of you, absolutely not. You would just throw it out, or you know, try to score a sale with it, but that you wouldn't touch it. So I think that I've said this a lot previously, but I really do believe that the drug situation is something that is a medical situation and should not be treated as a criminal situation at the individual level, okay? The cartels are so powerful because they're engaged in what is now a high-risk business, and people are willing to pay a lot of money for their poisons, okay? They really are, truly. And as a result of the illegality, as a result of everything being clandestine, just like alcohol in the 1920s in the United States, they were selling in the 1920s, a dollar for a drink was a lot of money. Okay, that was a lot of money, but they were getting it, and they were getting it for really substandard alcohol. Okay, so it's not good. So the cartels today are so rich and so powerful because things are illegal. If things were legal and sold at government dispensaries, and I'm talking everything, you would see the cartels crumble, at least insofar as their illegitimate enterprises are concerned. Their legitimate enterprises, if they have gone a little bit and invested and diversified, would probably be okay. But I'm going to continue the after the 4 o'clock news on News Radio 930 WBEN with... my tongue bleeding heavily, I'm going to wrap some cotton. I'm going to sound like Marlon Brando coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, because when he was trying out for The Godfather, they put cotton balls in his mouth and Kleenex in his mouth, so he had that voice. So I might do that just out of necessity here in the next hour of the show. But have you had a small injury that caused you a ridiculous amount of pain? A small injury caused you a ridiculous amount of pain, like my tooth, which the tooth, it was mangled beyond belief, but the tooth is fine. It's the tongue that is absolutely paying the price still, even today. You believe that?
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aha, welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm just having the devil of a time today. You have no idea. It's like, have you ever had one of those days where you touch something and it falls? You're sitting at the desk and something moves and then everything goes tumbling like a house of cards. It's insane. It's crazy. I cannot buy a break today. I cannot catch a break today. It's just, everything is just going to end up on the floor anyway. I might as well just throw it down there right now and save the aggravation, save some time. My goodness. It's like, frankly, everything I'm touching today seems to fall apart. So it's going to make certain things very, very difficult. It is 9 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So, I'm just trying to get back in the groove here, because believe it or not, I've told you guys this before, but as long as I've been doing this, you give me a little time off and I got to get into the groove. I got to get into it, baby. It's like trying to learn how to walk all over again. It really is. You might think that it's not, but it truly is. But thank God I like it, because if I didn't, that would be kind of a pain. So talking right now, and I'm going to get into weed later on. That sounds very interesting, Tom. You're going to smoke weed while you're on the air? That would be a big no. Not today. I'll wait till tomorrow. But anyway, April 20th is 420 day, as you know. But started this at 3 o'clock, just after 3 o'clock. And I love the topics. I've done the worst injury you've ever had, the most painful thing that's ever happened to you. But I'm doing a variation of that today. I'm not doing that old topic again. I'm doing something new today because of what happened last week. What I'm asking you today is, have you had an injury that was so small and minor and so superficial sounding, and yet it caused you a tremendous amount of absolute agony and pain, an injury or even an illness? Because could we call a hydrocele an illness or a condition? Yes, and a hydrocele, how do I say this delicately? You know, the male anatomy features three items, and two of those items are very susceptible to two-year-olds jumping on your lap when you don't expect them to, and basically making sure they don't have any little brothers or sisters. So just so you know that. But the testicles of the male have been known to swell up to the size of a basketball. That's a slight exaggeration, but only a slight exaggeration. Hydroceles, they're called hydroceles. It's like hydro, C-E-L-E, hydrocele. You might say hydrocele. It's a hydrocele. Oh, indeed. But they're horrible. I've never had one. Unfortunately, I know that we have them in the family. My dad had one. My brother had one. And I'm dreading the day. Hopefully, actually, I'm thinking maybe I might have avoided that. So if you've had one and you want to tell us how bad it was, and I don't know does that really fit in today's? Yeah, I can make that fit, because if you talk about an inflammation, people, like the guy earlier was trying to get into gout, and then we just couldn't find our stride in a conversation. All right, so that's all that was. But gout is a very, very painful situation, and with gout, some of it is dietary. Some people are just, I think, susceptible to gout because of whatever bum genes they've got, G-E-N-E-S. But with gout, it is so bad, so horrible. It's caused by purines. Diet will influence that. And here's what's really strange, though. I know a little bit about gout because I've told you this before. I've had a slight case of gout over the years, but never a serious one. Some people with gout, I kid you not, this never happened to me. Some people, though, if you put even a light cover on the affected part of the body, which is all inflamed from gout, they cannot take it. Like if they've got gout on their big toe, you put a little tiny sheet over it, it sends them into extreme agony. It's really not good. Now, here's what I don't understand about gout, and it is that you're not supposed to eat red meat, right? Because red meat can really make your life hell with gout. That's all I eat is red meat, and it doesn't bother me at all. I have not had a gout flare-up in quite some time. And I will say that I'm not a doctor, but knowing what I was doing back then when I was getting the gout flare-ups and knowing what I'm doing now when I'm not getting the gout flare-ups, I don't drink like I used to drink. No. In fact, I drink five times as much. No, I don't drink like I used to drink, and that is a big help because alcohol will exacerbate gout. And I've lost the weight. I've lost 70 pounds. So I think that had a lot to do with it because the gout does not act up. It should, because all the doctors say is, well, you're eating red meat, you're eating a lot of shrimp cocktail, you're eating this, you're eating that. Okay, that's fine, but guess what? The other factors are not playing a role in my body anymore, so I don't really have the gout issue, and thank goodness for that. So in your life, have you had, or are you having currently, a small injury, just a tiny little injury, but it causes you a ridiculous amount of excruciating pain? What was it? A broken wrist? Now, that guy in Canada, the broken wrist, I don't know how he's going to make it because ibuprofen, whatever he said he was taking, Advil, which, by the way, those kinds of meds are not good for your kidneys in the long term. I'm not a doctor, but you got to watch those kinds of meds because if you have kidney issues, Trump says lots of bombs will start going off if Iran's ceasefire expires. Okay, well, we shall see. I thought that war was pretty, the operation, I thought that was almost over a month ago, but I guess not. Anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And the reason we are doing this topic today, and I told you last Tuesday, I was thinking about doing it, but I never came in on Wednesday because I couldn't really talk because my tongue was all, I told you on Tuesday that I had a molar had broken, and as a result of the molar breaking, I had sharp spots all over my teeth, like razor sharp. I kid you not. And the tongue, which I use in speaking and certain other activities, like chewing. I don't know what you were thinking. I was thinking chewing the whole time. My tongue was totally... my tongue looked like a World War I battlefield with the trenches from the air. That's what my tongue looked like. When the dentist looked and said, "Wow, Tom, you really did a number on your tongue." And I said, "Yeah, but the good news is the stuff in the mouth heals pretty quickly, right?" And she actually said, "Well, Tom, it usually does, but in your case, it's probably going to take about a week or so because it's really bad." I said, "Thanks." They don't think it's going to get infected, so that's good. So what? I got to tell you, especially doing this for a living, but even if I didn't do this for a living, last week would have been very, very difficult. I could not talk to anybody. I couldn't talk to you guys on the air. Couldn't talk to Rochelle. I couldn't talk to any of her friends. Couldn't talk to my girlfriend or the other women. I could not talk to them either. It was tough. But anyway, whatever. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, you know, you've had a bad day, guys, when your wife and your girlfriend or girlfriends are all mad at you at the same time over different things. I mean, what's up with that? 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Remember what I said at the beginning of the segment when I said that everything was falling down? I put my head forward and literally my reading glasses literally just fell on the floor. Like, are you kidding me? Seriously? I guess I'm just going to roll with it and enjoy and know that you've been through the same thing at some point in your life, right? Let's go to Therese in Hamburg on WBEN. Hello, Therese.
Hello, Tom. I'm just calling because a couple weeks ago I fell and I had a small tear in the Achilles tendon. And it has been so painful, but yet they said I don't need to have surgery. And I haven't even started physical therapy yet. I'm going to be starting it this week. And they gave me something for anti-inflammatory, which did not help at all. And I'm wearing this air cast that is supposed to keep it from hurting, which that doesn't help. So I just wanted to say that a small Achilles tendon tear is not that big. It's right. It's very small, but it's very painful.
It sounds very, very painful, my dear. It sounds horribly painful. But when you tell the story to people, nobody says that it's just a little thing, right? Because, see, if you've ever had an ingrown toenail or a hangnail or something like that, everybody does one time or another. Those things sound really wimpy, but they're not.
Right, right. And people say, "Oh, well, that's usually a sports injury." Yeah, well, it can happen anytime.
I would imagine, definitely. Is that it?
Yep, that was it.
Oh, okay. I thought there might be more. Man, you guys are tough today. It's like trying to pull teeth out of a dragonfly, which isn't the easiest thing in the world. Thank you for the call. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. We are talking about your experiences with an injury that seems like it should not cause the amount of pain that it caused, such as, has anybody else, you know what, I kind of need some backup here. I need some corroboration here because I'm getting some people who are saying, "Tom, you are full of crap. I've broken plenty of teeth. I've never had my tongue devoured by the broken tooth acting like a razor blade on the bottom or top of my tongue. Tom, you're full of doo-doo." And I'm saying, no, I'm not full of doo-doo. I'd be happy to produce a note from my dentist if you really wanted me to. But no, I assure you, if you have a broken tooth and it forms a razor blade-like sharpness on the edge of the tooth, and your tongue has got to go somewhere when you speak and when you chew, when you do everything else, what do you think is going to happen? Of course, if it's like a razor blade, it's going to hurt bad. And I'm not whining about it because I find the whole thing funny because I've worked through some things that are a lot worse than this thing sounds, believe me. But I'm laughing about it because I have to admit, it sounds stupid. It sounds totally wimpy. But when it happens to you, is there anybody who can back me up on this? Is there anybody who's broken a tooth who also almost had their tongue sliced off by the broken tooth itself? A slight exaggeration, but you know me. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Dave in West Seneca. Dave, welcome. You are on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I can't believe I just got right on. I just called. That's amazing.
That's because nobody's calling.
I've had open heart surgery where they took 6 inches out of my a Sunday aorta. I just had 8 inches taken out of my colon and 2 sections taken out of my small intestines. But your report on, and they're not that, I know this sounds weird, but it's not that painful. It's more inconvenient. But I do concur with you on the gout. That will put you to your knees. I mean, that is, it's probably pretty much in a lot of people's cases, maybe alcohol. There's something you can take for that that reduces the amount of uric acid that causes that problem. I had gone into the Mac Center and to try to get treatment, and so they determined it was gout. It wasn't bone spurs. It wasn't anything. So they're going to help me. So this girl comes in. I'm going to give you this shot for pain. And this was during COVID. So I had to wait 15, 20 minutes for my wife to come back to pick me up. So after they gave me the shot, 10 minutes later, the girl comes in and says, how you doing with that pain? And I said, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, I did stuff stronger than this for recreational purposes. And
I wouldn't know anything about what you're talking about, sir. Oh, that kind of stuff. Sorry. Please, go ahead. I don't know what's going on today, but please, continue.
That's pretty much it. Gout is, I mean, like I said, I've had a lot of things. I've had 3 hernia surgeries and several surgeries. A lymph node taken out, a couple of things, appendix, and nothing compares to gout. And I thank my primary physician for prescribing something that allows me not to experience that any longer. So,
very, very interesting, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
Yeah, gout is really tough. And folks, I don't know what's going on with the phone today, but it's almost like there's a 2-second delay, and it's kind of confusing to me. So when you call in, let me know. See, you'd have no way of knowing when I was speaking, because that's weird. Never mind. Disregard. It's like in the old days when you're watching reporters from overseas, and Peter Jennings is in London. Peter. Then Peter Jennings would sit there for about 5 seconds. Yes, thank you, Frank. And it was pretty awesome, actually. But 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 and 1-800-616-WBEN. The injury that didn't seem like it should give you that much pain, but actually it really did, and it sucked. Oh, my goodness. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The gout thing is absolutely the gout thing is terrible for those who have it. But you know, the good news is, I think that in a lot of cases, you can actually control the gout by watching what you are eating. And I will say that if your doctor says that you need to not drink so much because it's aggravating your gout, I'm going to say, listen to your doctor, because that is so easy to do. And there's no point in experiencing gout and all the flare-ups if you don't really need to, because you don't really need to drink, right? I mean, you can if you choose to do so, but you don't need to, right? Got to take a sip here of my trusty beverage, and I know it might sound like tequila, but it's nothing more exciting than Saratoga mineral water. Oh, sparkling. Did I tell you this? Do you know? Oh, Tanner's going to enjoy this too. Do you know that I do have a drinking problem? I've talked about this on the air, and it's hard to admit, but it's mineral water. It's Topo Chico mineral water. And here's the thing. Some of you are aware of this, and some of you are not. The Topo Chico mineral water is not available right now. Will not be available for most of this year. It might not be available until 2027, because apparently, and you can look this up online, the springs, the source of the water from which Topo Chico makes its mineral water, is damaged. There's something wrong with the water, and they are not putting it out anymore until they clean things up. It's almost like Flint, Michigan, except much more expensive than Flint, Michigan, okay? It's very, very unfortunate. But if you've been looking for the Topo Chico, you haven't found it, because it ain't out. And frankly, I'm not going to kid you. I literally would go through, when I'm in the air, I would go through probably 4 little bottles of Topo Chico. And then what happened is, I don't know if you've ever had a food to which you've been horribly addicted. Then My spouse picked up the habit from me. She then became a Topo Chico fanatic, just in time for us to figure out that, hey, it's not at the grocery store. What's going on? We looked it up. Sure enough, Topo Chico ain't going to be out for another few months. Maybe not until 2027. Good Lord. It's so unfair to humanity. I'm telling you. Oh, nice, sweet. All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN. Good to be with you. And talking about, well, this is a roundabout way, I guess, of me saying that I felt bad last week because it's such a baloney little, it's such a stupid little thing, and yet it happened. I wasn't on the air last week because, well, Wednesday through Friday, that's all, because I had a molar break right before Tuesday's show last week, and It left a razor blade like edge on the side of the tooth that had broken. Interestingly, even though the tooth was totally broken and it's going to need some serious dental stuff coming up this week, don't worry, not going to work that day either. I promise. Don't want to put you through that. It was so sharp that every time my tongue went over it, it would gouge a little bit of my tongue out. So it was so sore. There's just no way I could work. I could barely talk. I could barely speak at all last week, actually, which was probably a great relief to many of you. But the issue is, have you had... See, I feel kind of stupid even talking about this. But on the other hand, sometimes the best radio I've ever done comes from a stupid idea or a stupid experience. So I do feel stupid about it, no doubt. But I want to know if you've ever had a situation happen where you had a stupid minor little injury, and yet it turned out to cause a disproportionate amount of pain. And what I find really interesting about what happened to me last week is, you know, you hear about a tooth breaking apart. The obvious thing would be, well, obviously the tooth must be hurting you. It must be causing you a great deal of stress. The tooth doesn't bother me in the least, but the tongue does. Oh, that was the secondary injury. So have you had something happen to you that was just a stupid, stupid little thing, and yet it caused you a ridiculous amount of pain? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Like, some things everybody knows. Broken ribs, everybody knows, painful. Okay, absolutely, positively. Broken ribs are horrible. Kidney stones, horrible. Childbirth, horrible. If you're a guy, anything involving those two little, your nuts, your pistachios, anything involving those parts is going to be painful, and you know it. You don't have to explain to a guy what it means to be facing the cannonball of dodgeball in gym class when you're a kid, right in the bread box, baby, right in the bread box. Oh, that sucks. But I think women, by the way, I think you are a lot stronger than men are when it comes to dealing with pain. I truly believe that. I've said this a million times, and it's not exactly a new idea, that if women did not give birth, if men had to give birth to babies to further the species would have died out a long time ago. I think men, for as much as we like to brag about, hey, we're tough, we can handle that. Oh, I got your back, no problem, we're tough. We like to brag about these things. And there are a lot of tough guys, obviously. And there's also a lot of very tough women. But all I can say is, even the toughest guy, okay, even the toughest guy does not get immunity on a cold day. Maybe your feet are subject to being cold. Like, do your feet get super cold in the wintertime where you actually put a hot water bottle on them to try to get some circulation back? Oh, that sucks. But anyway, the situation with the pain. Men, even the tough ones, even the really tough ones, try to hold it in. We do. And we also try to pretend that certain things don't bother us, even though they're causing us a great deal of distress. It's unmanly, you know. But I think really women... You might agree or disagree with this. I think women, on the whole, are much better at dealing with pain than men. And like being sick in general. And I've not been sick in quite some time, actually, at least not physically. But being sick, I have a question that I do want to put out. I'm switching to another thing here in a few minutes. So if you have any thoughts you want to get into before I switch gears, please, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. When you are ill, are you somebody who likes to be coddled, cuddled, and taken care of? Or do you need to be left alone? And you know, back when I was single, I was known to have a special fondness for Italian women, okay? What do you want me to say? I love women of Italian heritage, Jewish heritage. I love the look. I love the personality. I love everything about them, truly. Even the cooking. Yes, even the cooking, fellas. There's a lot more to that than bagels, which don't make it home anyway. But the Italian women that I would date when I was single, they, as opposed to the ones I date now, but the Italian women that I would date when I was single, would get so mad at me. Do you know why they get mad at me? They would get infuriated with me because I wouldn't let them take care of me. I wouldn't let them baby me. I wouldn't allow it. I basically said, look, I'm ill. I'm sick. I don't want you to see me like this. I don't want you to come around. I just want you to leave me alone until such time as I feel better. I appreciate the thought, but just don't even bother. I just want to sweat this out myself. And you know that some women actually got offended by that. They actually got angry at that. They wanted to baby. They wanted to treat me like a king. They really did. But I didn't want to be treated like a king. When I'm ill, when I'm under the weather, I don't know about you how you are, but I just want to be totally left alone. Maybe put some videos on YouTube, something like that. But I just have no interest in a lot of socializing if I don't particularly feel well. And visiting somebody in the hospital, are you a hospital person? Are you a hospital person? Do you go when a friend or relative is sick? Do you find that you are the one that people rely on to make sure that the hospital doesn't screw things up with the person who's in the hospital? Yeah, I thought so. Because I figure I probably have a lot of those kinds of people listening to the program at all times. I'm just saying. I would certainly. Yep. Well, some people are hospital people. Some people are natural caregivers. Other people cannot stand. Absolutely hate the hospital. And one of the things, this goes back 9 years to the heart attack time, and I don't know if you can relate to this or you can't relate to this, if you've got stories that you want to add to the pile, but you could always tell when somebody was very comfortable being in the hospital and somebody had no issue being with you in your hour of distress, I'm sorry, physical distress, and you also know immediately when somebody is only there because they feel an obligation to be there. They don't like being in the hospital, not even to visit. They are very, they throw off sparks, I guess the term would be. And my advice would be that if you are one of the people who just feels totally uncomfortable in a hospital, even when you're just visiting somebody, it's better to stay at home than it is to bring those sparks into a hospital. There were some people, and if you've ever been in the hospital, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you've got some stories too. I'm not going to name anybody, okay? I appreciate the fact that they came to visit. Please don't misunderstand me. I do appreciate the fact they did come to see Tom, to see me. No problem. But when you come up to a room and the person who is about to have open heart surgery is more concerned with you and whether you're going to have a heart attack than they are with themselves, that might be an issue that you want to think about. And I can think of a few people, actually, now that I put some thought to it, who were like that. I don't know what it is. They just don't like being in the hospital. But when you, as the patient, have to tell your visitor, hey, look, I really appreciate the fact that you came. It means a lot to me. But I can tell that you don't really want to be here, and it's quite all right. You don't have to stay. I'm glad that you came. Here, let me give you a hug. It's all good. Please get yourself home. Relax. Don't worry about me. I'm cool. Everything's good with me. That should tell you something about your place as far as visiting hospitals are concerned. If you're going to end up making the person you're trying to comfort feel more anxious because you're just pacing the floor and you're fidgeting like you've got ADHD, that's not a good thing. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. It is 4:46. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on here with the. Apparently, my molar has moved into my throat today. It's kind of a weird feeling. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Anything to say about what I have descanted upon the previous 15 minutes or so? Be happy to take your telephone call. The main topic is: have you had an injury that seems like it's so small, but it gave you a ridiculous amount of pain? And are you the person in your family who is always first at the hospital to visit somebody after something has gone on with them? Yes or no? Or are you somebody who stays away from hospitals? The one place I will stay away from is a nursing home. I despise nursing homes. I despise it. Actually, despise is too soft a word. I really don't like nursing homes. I will not go to a nursing home ever. No, not even if I'm a patient will I go to a nursing home. Of course, if anybody wants to send me to a nursing home, I probably at that point wouldn't know it anyway. Let's go to Carl in Dallas, Texas on WBEN. Hello, Carl. You're on the radio. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk with you again. Yeah, about 2 years ago, I had a tooth in the side of my mouth on the upper part that broke, and it had a sharp, like I said, like a razor blade. Not only did it cut my tongue, it continually cut the inside of my cheek. It was just a nightmare.
Wow. That's absolutely... So how do you tell everything you remember about that situation? Tell us, because it's better that you talk than I talk.
Well, the one thing I remember more than anything is how it just I kept tasting blood all the time, I put my finger in, and then I'd see blood on my finger. I go, oh boy, and then I found the sharp edge of my finger, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really sharp. And you know, I couldn't do hardly anything without it just continually cutting and then hurting bad. So I took a Dremel moto tool with a little carbide burr, and after I got myself drunk, I deburred the edge with the grinder until it was no longer sharp.
Well, what they did for me was they drilled, they smoothed out the razor blade. It was like a mountain of tooth with a big razor blade on top of it. That's why the dentist was amazed at my tongue. That's all. Well, let me rephrase that. Amazed at the damage I'd done to my tongue. Thank you. Now we're all good.
I had one other thing that happened probably like maybe 2 years ago that was really painful. Want me to tell you that one too?
Sure. Why not?
I had a gallbladder that was infected. I didn't know it was my gallbladder, but I had this sharp pain in my back on one side for like, you know, almost a week, and I could hardly even sleep at night. So I went to the emergency room at the heart hospital because, you know, as you know, I had all of this heart surgery and stuff, you know, 5 years ago. So I went there and I said, I got this terrible pain in my back. So they did an x-ray and I go, okay, you got a problem with your gallbladder. So they admitted me. And because of the heart issue and all that, they didn't want to risk taking it out or anything right away. So they brought me to a surgeon, and they gave me something that he said, I won't even feel what they're going to do. So it was something that made me not care. But they put me in the operating room, and they hooked a thing up at the end of this tube and shoved that in a hole in my chest up inside my gallbladder. And I had this tube coming out my chest for like 6 months that I had to maintain and buy some stuff on Amazon to clear the tubes and all that stuff, and you know, the special tape that tapes to your skin to hold the bag that collects all the drainage from the gallbladder. It was absolutely horrible. I mean, that was more painful than the heart surgery and everything. But yet, then when I went to finally get it taken out, the surgeon did his residency in UB down at Amherst, so I thought that was interesting. And I went in the morning, and I went home early afternoon, and it didn't hurt at all. They knocked me out completely and used that little robot surgery thing where all the little things are in you, and he operates it remotely from a little control console. And that did not hurt at all. But putting in that drain tube was more painful than anything I've ever experienced.
I definitely understand that. Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate the call from Dallas, Texas. I'm going to take another sip of my mineral water, if that's okay with you guys. That's good. That is delicious stuff. Water. Clearly, I'm having a hydration issue. My goodness. First, it's the tongue. Now, it's my voice. This is great. Like I said earlier during the show, this is a day where I cannot catch a break. Maybe you've had a day like that. I cannot catch a break. If I'm touching something, I'll drop it. It'll go on the floor. And not only will it go on the floor, it will go as far away from me as possibly it can go on the floor. Oh, my goodness. I'm cursed. I'm telling you. I never should have found King Tut. It all went downhill from there. Anything you want to get into as far as what we've been talking about the past 20 minutes or so? Or actually, well, we started at 3 after the news, but the small injury that caused you a lot of pain and the hospital stuff. Are you the visiting type or are you not the visiting type? And frankly, when I've been in the hospital, I don't really expect people to come and visit. I usually just tell people, I know you're thinking of me, and that's fine. That's totally okay. Hospitals... Let me tell you my thoughts on hospitals. You want to hear them? Okay. Hospitals, I think, they're well-intended, but I have major issues with hospitals for many reasons. Among those reasons are the fact that what is the best thing you can do when you're recovering from surgery or when you are recovering from being horribly sick? What is the number one way you're going to improve? You got to sleep. You have to get rest. If you don't rest, you get stressed. You build up the cortisol in your system. It's not good. It sucks. It's terrible. But a hospital is designed to make you sleep deprived. How many times, if you've stayed in a hospital for any length of time, have you fallen asleep? Then you get awakened because we got to take your blood pressure, and here's your sleeping pill. I was sleeping anyway. Why would you even do this? This makes no sense. But the biggest issue I've got with hospitals is the food in hospitals. because I happen to be one of those wackos, and, you know, Rochelle got me into this. I happen to be one of these wackos who believes that a lot of illnesses can be healed by improving your diet. In fact, I've talked to you about seed oils. We don't eat seed oils. And you know what? The inflammation clearly has improved greatly. I don't drink a lot. I lost a lot of weight. I don't get the gout anymore. So basically the gout. Oh, did that sound old? That sound old. That sounded like Mr. Old Guy. The gout, not just gout. You got to put the in, like the lupus, the cancer. People of a certain generation tended to do that. And now I've fallen into that trap. Good heavens, help me. So 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. If you want to get in on this and spare your ears hearing my wretched voice right now, you may call 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But the food in hospitals is just terrible, and it's not very good for you. Food can be your best friend, or it can be a contributing factor to you not feeling terribly well. And there are so many things you can do to make yourself feel better by eating better stuff. And the hospitals feed you crap, absolute crap. Carbs, if I ever have to stay in the hospital again, I'm definitely going to have no food from the hospital. I'll just have people bring me food. Matzo ball soup, anybody? Yeah, oh, that is the best. Let's go to Laura on WBEN. Laura is calling in with another Akron person calling in. Hello, Laura of Akron. You are on the radio.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm miserable, actually.
Well, I can certainly sympathize, and I can confirm a sharp tooth on your tongue is horrendous and can really lead to problems. I had this happen over 20 years ago, and I didn't ignore it. I just happened to have an appointment with a neurosurgeon for another issue I was having, and it had been cutting my tongue for, I don't know, I didn't pay attention. I was in my 30s, and it turned out to be cancer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, obviously that is a big deal. Nobody's ever going to say, oh, you have cancer and you're complaining about it. What a wuss.
But it hurt so much. And I will tell you, and I don't even remember the name of the doctor. I won't say it because I don't know it. But that first doctor I saw told me, don't worry, it's not cancer. Cancer doesn't hurt.
Oh.
And when I got the diagnosis, it was cutting, you know, irritating your tongue. Everybody gets that to happen every now and again. Well, it wasn't going away, and it just got worse. And then it got to, like, a lump where it was just, like, raised, you know what I mean, almost like scar tissue. And he was going to take that off in his office. And long story short, he rescheduled me because they were redecorating their office and put me off for about a month. So I called another doctor to get a second opinion. I saw him on a Friday. I was in surgery on Monday. Yeah,
my
that was all
goodness.
Within a week.
My
yeah.
goodness.
So well, you can't again, ignore that stuff. Yeah, and I'm a non-smoker, non-drinker. Right. You know, I had no indicators, never had any health issues. I was 33. I had no reason to ever think. And when I went to a head and neck specialist that the oral surgeon sent me to that afternoon, he took a biopsy, which... was when you're talking about pain and you said, you know, you've had other things that were worse for me. This was my bar where it was set for pain tolerance. It was the worst pain of my entire life.
I can only imagine. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You know, you go through these things in life. It's okay. I'm good. I ended up having surgery. He had to remove like a 1-inch by 1/2-inch section of my tongue. And you know, had to just recuperate and what have you, and couldn't talk, couldn't eat. It was not fun. I enjoy both. So but it had to happen. It had to come out, and then I was okay. I didn't have to have any chemo or anything. So I don't know if the tooth scratching my tongue caused it or if it was there, and that's just what God used to bring it to light so I could get rid of it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, I'm sorry that that happened to you. I'm glad that you're telling the story to us and really appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much. 803-0930. Coming up after the news at 5, I'm going to switch gears because it is 420. 420. Is anybody dare me to fire up weed when I'm live on the air? Go ahead. Dare me. Dare me. Because I love dares. Will I do it? I get to stay listening to the rest of the show to figure out if I'm actually going to do it. It's legal, so why not? 803-0930. Did we make a mistake when marijuana was legalized? Did we make a horrible mistake when marijuana was legalized? Or do you think that it was long overdue? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies, with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you on the radio. And I do apologize for the voice. It's just one of those stupid things. And it is what it is. I feel fine. Trust me. Just delightful. Although, I don't know, this working for a living is kind of cruddy. It's much easier to just sit back and let somebody else do things and just enjoy the dulcet tones of their voice. So anyway, I want to get into something now that... I think is important. I do think it is very, very important. So let me get to it right away. Today is 420 day. It's marijuana day. No, I would not smoke marijuana when I'm working any more than I would drink when I'm working. That's just something I've never done. Except one night I did drink on the air with the state trooper in studio, and I did get drunk on the air. True story. And that's absolutely a true story. And the funny thing is, you wouldn't even know it because I probably sound worse today than I did that night. And just shows the value of having a tongue in good shape. A tongue in good shape. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Marijuana legalization. Obviously, different states have different laws as far as marijuana is concerned. And if you're going to be doing any traveling this summer overseas, I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that I know. And I think I saved this individual some serious headaches when they went to Italy, because I happen to know an individual who smokes a lot of marijuana, a ton of weed. I'm pretty sure that this individual has not been sober of marijuana probably since he was 5 years old, or maybe 10, just to make it sound better. But I knew that even if he was not smoking any weed on the entire flight to Italy, that when he was off the plane, I think in Rome, wherever, when he's off the plane, he was going to attract attention from the carabinieri and the dogs. Sure enough, true story, these people get off the plane, including this guy I know, get off the plane, they're in the airport, they're surrounded by carabinieri, the Italian police, or whatever they call the airport security people. And the woman he was with looks around and says, "Oh, wow, what nice doggies." Well, they weren't nice doggies. They were drug-sniffing dogs, and they smelled the residual marijuana on the clothes of the guy. And I told the guy, how this figures in with me, I told him, I said, "Bro, you cannot bring weed overseas. Not every place has legal marijuana, even in the United States. New York State is one thing. Texas is something else. I believe that a small amount of marijuana is still a felony in the state of Texas. I think I saw that on TV. Therefore, it must be true. But did we make a mistake? Did we screw up when we legalized marijuana? Did we make a horrible blunder? Do you think that life is worse now? Let's put it this way. We've had years of people with access to marijuana, readily available marijuana, and legally available marijuana. Frankly, had I wanted it, I could have had access to, I had access to marijuana well before it was legalized. And frankly, I think it's good that it is legalized. I think that anytime you're introducing a drug into your body, That is a medical issue. It's not a criminal justice issue. I believe that very, very strongly. It didn't work. What we're doing with the drugs and what we have been doing since what, the Nixon administration, was it? I think didn't he declare the first war on drugs? Yeah, it was Richard Nixon. What we've been doing with drugs is the same thing as we did with alcohol in the 1920s. And it does not work. It does not work. People are going to do it. If they want it, they're going to buy it. They're going to spend a lot of money to get something. And what we've done with marijuana, I think, could be done with a lot of other things, and it would be done to great success. Now, I also know that many of you do not like the fact that marijuana is a legal recreational substance in New York State. And I get that. And I'd be happy to talk to you about that, okay? Because if we have differing opinions on it, we have differing opinions on it. And that's fine. I'm glad that it's legalized. But I must tell you that clearly laryngitis is a big thing. But I'm glad that it is legalized, okay? But you go to Gateway concerts in the summertime in North Tonawanda. You go to the Erie County Fair. You go to a lawn fete. And it used to be the most offensive smell would be somebody's chili fart in the beer tent with no fan blowing it around. And it would just stay in the air for years at a time. In fact, I'm pretty sure last year I got the same gas that I had 2 years ago. The air does not move underneath those beer tents on a humid evening. I'm just saying. So 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The old days, it was intestinal gas and distress. Now, anywhere you go, weed, 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 weed. It's like, my God, is everybody stoned all the time in the United States? Because I'm starting to think they are. And that's a little bit disconcerting, especially if it's your doctor and you're going in for heart surgery or eye surgery or something like that. All right. Obviously, my voice has gone south on me during the show today. It's nothing about which to be concerned. I don't know what is going on, but I will suck plenty of lemons today. In fact, at 5:30, I'm going to get myself a lemon, and I'm going to suck on it like Joe Valachi did testifying. He'd smoke like a fiend, and then he would put lemon in his mouth, thinking that would make it all better. It didn't, Joe Valachi. Let's go to Julia on WBEN. Hello, Julia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you? I'm sorry your voice is not cooperating today. Maybe you should go home and have an edible to celebrate with a hot cup of tea.
You know, edibles, I mean, I'll say this about edibles. I don't think edibles are all that good. Frankly, somebody I'm very close with and with whom I sleep, that leaves it open for quite a few people. But no, somebody with whom I'm very close went out and got some flour and some edibles and some vape and some drops. And the edibles, it's a chocolate edible, did absolutely nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. And then the flours in the grind, the flour stuff that you put in the grinder, that was actually quite nice. It helped me sleep, but it also made me incredibly horny, which is bizarre, because I'm so old I should never ever have that feeling again. I haven't tried anything else, but anyway.
I can't. We're from the same generation, so here's my thoughts with New York State and legalizing pot. We grew up, Tom. I mean, we're both around the same age, I think. Whenever you wanted to smoke weed, somebody had it, you could always have it. So in New York State, having weed was always accessible. If not, your cousin was growing it in a window box in Black Rock, and you could just visit for a day. So weed was always accessible in New York State. So California legalizes it. Within 1 year, I'm pretty sure it's close to $1 billion tax revenue that they made from it. Colorado legalizes it. Within 1 year, they had pretty close to that also. New York State legalizes it. What do we do? Oh, yeah, that's right. We have to put a licensing on it. Then you have to do federal background checks. Then you have to pay another fee to become a grower. Then you have to pay another fee to distribute. New York State cannot do anything without making it a bureaucracy, and they did the same thing with weed. Instead of just letting it go and letting it flourish and do what it was supposed to do to put more money back into our economy, it's turned into nothing but a red tape quagmire, and nobody's making the money that they thought they would be making when it became legalized.
So if you were running New York State right now, what would you do?
What would I do? The first thing I would do is I would probably get some, there's an office, I guess, in Albany or in New York City that is in charge of to oversee every single nonprofit within New York State. That would be the first thing I would hit. That would be number one. And then number two, I would concentrate on getting the red tape out of the way and sell marijuana. She wants billionaires to come back and live in New York State. Maybe we could just justify that money by, you know, getting out of our own way and let people buy weed. I mean, people could buy weed, but, I mean, let it go back and do what it's supposed to do into our economy. I think those would be the two first things I would do.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Awesome stuff. Okay, great stuff. All right, there she is. There is our caller who is saying goodbye now. It is 20 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, I apologize. My goodness. It's like every time I'm on the air. But actually, this is not a surprise to me. Because what did I say during the first hour? I said, today is a day that I cannot touch a break. I can't catch a break. I can't hold a break. I can't keep a break going. If I have a break, I know it's going to end in about 15 seconds. So I started off talking about the small injury and my tongue being out of commission last week for anything, especially speaking. And then as the show has gone on, you've heard my voice go steadily downhill. So I apologize. I know it sounds like crap. I'm really, really sorry. I'm going to grab a lemon in a few minutes and suck on a lemon. Literally, we'll suck on a lemon. Did New York State make a mistake when it legalized marijuana? Yes or no? I don't like the smell of it everywhere. That's an issue for me, but it's not, it's better. You know, it's probably better than cigarettes, except some of the red cigarettes, to me, they smell like they were made with dog excrement, and I'm not even exaggerating. We got a minute here. Let's get Rich on a cell phone on WBEN. Hello.
Hello.
Let's go right ahead, please.
It's, you know, New York State could mess up a one-car funeral. And when they rolled out the recreational marijuana, they, you know, you look at Colorado, they had made so much revenue on it that they gave everybody a tax rebate in the state. So New York State goes and rolls it out. They can't get out of their own way trying to collect every which way of taxes. And they pretty much gave all the business to the Indian reservations. So, you know, that's the biggest problem that I see. I mean, yeah, smelling it all over the place is pretty interesting. I'll just keep it at that. And I have nothing against using it at all, but New York State just totally wrecked it, and the Indian reservations, you know, like everything else that New York State likes to tax, they just gave all the business to them, and that's part of the problem that we have actually generating a business off reservation with recreational marijuana.
So hold on. If you have something else to say after the news at 5:30, be happy to keep you on as well. Good stuff. Should New York State recriminalize marijuana? Did we make a mistake when we legalized marijuana? Personally, I don't think we did, but some people do believe that we actually did. I don't think we're seeing any mayhem in the streets more so than usual because marijuana was legalized. I don't think we've seen people using marijuana as a gateway drug. You know, you smoke a joint, the very next day you're going to be doing LSD, then heroin and cocaine together. I don't understand that at all, but it worked for a while. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To the point, let's roll another joint.
Yeah, I figured this was going to happen. I figured it was going to take place right here on News Radio 930 WBEN, and in fact, it did. Yes, Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Did New York State make a mistake when it legalized marijuana? Or is it the right thing to do? Because really, what's the point in punishing people for smoking a little plant? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And let us get back to the calls. I believe we've had a person on hold. It is Rich. Yes, Rich on WBEN. Hello, sir. You're back with us.
Hello.
You waited very patiently. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah, I mean, it is the right thing to do because, as you've articulated many times in the past, prohibition doesn't work. You know, even you can see it every day when you tell a kid not to do something, the first thing the kid's going to do is do it. You lose the ability to assure product safety when something is banned, yet someone wants to get it. You know, you look at prohibition, you didn't know it was a bottle of whiskey or it was a bottle of wood alcohol. You know, today it's really a good thing that, you know, with the legalization of marijuana, you now know what type of strain you're getting versus, you know, being up to the guy that you called and, you know, maybe it was an indica, maybe it was a sativa. You know, you didn't know exactly what it was. And if you know your body and you know what you're going to ingest or you're going to smoke, you know that a certain strain is going to affect you one way and another strain is going to affect you another. So you can make a good decision as to what you want to use recreationally. I think those things are very positive. But again, New York State can't get out of their way for the love of other people's money. And they ended up really, you know, hosing the people of New York State on a business opportunity for the pursuit of getting so many different taxes every which way till Sunday. And God bless the Indian reservations. They weren't dumb. They went ahead and they moved forward. They're making a good buck on their tax collection, but it's not something that's prohibitive with all the things that they have to jump through, all the hoops and all the permits and all the fees, and you tax it on this and you tax it on that. I mean, it's at some point in time, people have got to wake up and realize that if you're going to do business, you want to make a little money on the taxes, that's fine. Fast nickels makes a lot more money than slow dimes, and it's being, you know, illustrated to perfection right now, and we don't even see how much money is being collected or where it's going from New York State. So, you know, it's something that is concerning. I think it was the right move, but the way they made that move was absolutely atrocious.
Very interesting. Where is this going to end up? Is marijuana going to be the only thing that New York State legalizes?
I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball on that. You know, there's, you know, with marijuana, there is some medical benefit to it. It's not something that is refined per se. I mean, you're doing some genetic crossbreeding with plants, but we've been doing that for eons since Jethro Tull. You know, so you're not adding chemicals to it, refining it down into something that, you know, like a cocaine or a methamphetamine or even a heroin. You know, it's a tough question to really put out there. But from the standpoint of it being a crop, you know, if the federal government were smart, and that's, you know, saying something in itself, we know New York already isn't smart, but if the federal government was smart, they would handle marijuana just like they do with the crop known as in-shell peanuts. And how the federal government handles that is they issue permits for growers to grow it in the Virginia, North Carolina region. And that permit is passed on to generation to generation. And, you know, they haven't issued a permit to grow in-shell peanuts since the 30s, but it's protected. And they allow no imports of in-shell peanuts. They'll import shelled products, but in-shell crop is protected fiercely. It's a 100% domestic crop. And now you're not only providing an avenue for domestic industry, but you're also protecting against those cheap imports that could be funding terrorists. That would be a really smart thing to do, but again, you know, we're talking about politicians and politics, and there's nobody that's that smart in politics today anymore, other than, you know, how to figure out how to get your money.
Well, they're very smart when it comes to figuring out who's going to be first at the feeding trough and who can get the most jobs for the most number of third cousins. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I do appreciate. I appreciate the call. Great stuff. Should New York State have actually legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, or did New York State make a mistake? I'd love to hear from those of you who are police officers or who were police officers for a bit. You were a police officer when marijuana was legalized, but now you're retired, so you can actually call in and talk to us without worrying about anything. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Was it the right thing to do? Now that we've had some experience with it, was it the right thing to do, or was it a disgrace, a horrible thing? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. It's CJ, our friend CJ in Buffalo. CJ, hello.
Oh, hello there. I just have a quick comment. I agree. Weed should have been legalized decades ago. My only wish is that a law was not added similar to an open container law. You can't walk down the street drinking a beer, and you shouldn't walk down the street smoking a joint. Many folks are offended when they smell weed just running their errands, and I don't really like it either, and I'm a longtime weed user.
And when you say a long-time weed user, would you like to expand upon that? Would you like to elaborate upon that?
Well, I'm a woman of a certain age. You know, growing up in the 60s and 70s, no, I've always smoked weed. I really appreciate it that it's legal now, but we never walked around smoking a joint, and I really don't think you should be driving, smoking a joint, or walking into your restaurant, smoking a joint, just like you're not supposed to drive, drinking a beer, or walking around drinking a beer. That's the only problem I have with it. I'm fine with everything else.
I wonder how many other people are in that position where you yourself enjoy smoking the green herb. This is 420 day. You enjoy smoking weed, but you don't like smelling it when other people are smoking. And I think that's a legitimate concern because I've been known to smoke weed. I mean, what do you want me to say? I do. I enjoy it. And I don't do it every day, every night. I wait till the nighttime and then I do it so I can sleep better. But I think it does have some good effects on people, such as it does help you to sleep. And there are different strains, like the gentleman was saying earlier. Sativa actually gives you energy or some thought of clarity, some kind of clarity. I don't know. I think I've only had sativa once. I didn't like it. Indica is very relaxing and mellow. And if you get the right strain, it can actually make you rather randy. Some of the purple things are the title with the word purple.
And I think you have to be very careful what you buy these days. The new strains are so much stronger than the weed we smoked when we were kids.
Huh.
So I think you have to be very careful what you buy.
Oh, absolutely.
How it's going to affect you.
Absolutely, positively. You do have to be aware, and you do have to be careful. And the people at the dispensaries will tell you that, depending on what you're buying, and there's a certain kind of chemical that is a measurement of tea of something. Is it terpenes? Is that the word, terpenes?
THC.
Well, I just know the word terpenes, and supposedly the more terpenes in a strain, the better it is, the stronger it is. Maybe somebody who's horticulturally more talented than I can give us the definite answer on that one.
Well, my experience is if you do go to a dispensary and those people are very knowledgeable. I mean, if you explain what you're looking for, they will usually hook you up with the weed that you're looking for.
Well, I don't go into dispensaries myself. I hire people to do it for me. But every time I give them the name of something I want, the places never have it. It's like, come on, man, come on. So I'm a little bit discouraged by that. I'd be better off with the guy down the street. Thanks so much. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
CJ. Oh, by the way, real quickly. Oh, darn it. I was going to ask her what her favorite song to listen to after she's imbibed in the green happens to be. I will tell you that... do I dare? Queen, News of the World. You ever listen to Queen, News of the World? It's amazing. Headphones. You must have headphones on. Like, I don't wear enough of those. Let's get back to the calls. 803-0930. Should marijuana have been legalized, or did we louse up? Greg, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Tom, this is Greg from Lancaster.
Oh, Lancaster. I'm sorry, sir.
I just wanted to say, I feel the government has training wheels on all of us. They legalized a lot of the vices, gambling. They legalized marijuana now. Kathy Hochul is in full support of legalizing the sex trade, and it's only a matter of time when they need more tax money to pay for their patronage jobs that they're going to legalize hard drugs, just like New Amsterdam, and you can go and get as much crack or coke as you want, because that is the pathway we're headed to pay for these liberal social agendas that they put up.
Okay, well, as far as the sex trade is concerned, you say a liberal socialist agenda. And the way I look at it, legalizing the sex trade is actually, I can look at that as a very right-wing and conservative libertarian thing to do. Because if you are a libertarian sort of conservative, you think that the individual has the right to maximum freedom and maximum freedom to work at his or her trade. So I don't know, just out of curiosity, why would you have an issue with somebody taking control of their life, taking control of their body, and making money off of it?
Are they taking control, or are they being used?
Well, if let's put it this way. If they want to be a sex worker, if it's legalized, that means that the sex worker is going to come out of the closet and be more likely to get in touch with law enforcement if somebody tries muscling in on their action.
Okay. Not a problem, Tom. I appreciate your time.
Oh, well, no, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, look, people, I don't think that strippers, you know, exotic dancers, I don't think they grew up saying, you know what, I want to hit the brass pole when I grow up. But it happens. And frankly, there are some strippers who are extremely intelligent and they know exactly what they're doing and they're not being used by anybody. And they just do their thing. And frankly, they make a lot of money doing it. As far as prostitutes, I've never paid for it ever, just so you know. There's a massage I didn't pay for that. No, I didn't pay for it. But, as far as the sex workers are concerned, think about it. You got something, you sell it, you still got it. Is there a better career? I'm just saying. 803-0930. But I've never really had a chance to talk with a sex worker, either male or female, any great length, but I'm certainly willing to do it. If you are a sex worker, you want to be a guest on the show, send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com. All right, Bowerly at News Radio 930, WBEN. And I want to thank you very much for all the calls today. You basically saved me because I definitely needed calls today. And thank you for doing that for me, because I don't think I would have been able to continue without that. Now, as far as tomorrow is concerned, I know what my poor Lisa, last week it was my tongue. Now it's my throat. It's like, come on. I think things are going to be just fine. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to try my best to be here tomorrow because, frankly, I hate calling in sick. I really don't like it at all. And it wouldn't really be sick. It's just that I can't really talk, if you know what I'm saying. It is Bowerly coming up. It's Tom Puckett and Buffalo's Evening News on WBEN. Don't go anywhere because you want to find out everything that happened today. The marijuana topic, I'm actually pleasantly surprised at how well that played out. So thank you for that, because that was pretty cool. That's pretty awesome.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.